Every town has a dark side. This is Andrew Fitzgerald from the Every Town podcast, where every single week we dive into insane and mysterious true crime stories, most of which you've never heard of. Stories like the bizarre disappearance of Tyler Davis in Columbus, Ohio, a 29-year-old father trying to find his way back to his hotel when he disappeared and was never heard from again, and Elizabeth Schoaf from Lugoff, South Carolina, who was abducted from her driveway by a madman and taken to his underground bunker in the woods. We give you all the details you're interested in hearing about without any fluff or fillers, because ain't nobody got time for that. We cover everything from psychopaths to poltergeists, so go check out the Every Town podcast, because every town, no matter how nice it may seem, has a dark side.
Ready to go, they're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between, cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween, it's the horror show, I know you miss those guys, tune in and find out what's on their list tonight, they butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate, listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate, it's the horror show.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Horror Show, a show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not so favorite horror movies and other horror related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Welcome back, Joe.
What's going on?
Nothing. How you been?
Pretty good, man. We're riding high off the month of October. We've gotten some pretty damn good feedback. Feels like we're still on top of shit. So what better way to bring everything crumbling down than to do Trovember? And honestly, the most frustrating thing is. I can't even call anyone else a stupid asshole. Like, it's me. It's me this time. I read the plot synopsis last episode. We agreed to do Trovember. We were very gung-ho about this. Oh, man.
So
what a mistake.
Oh, man. And, you know, the thing with these trauma movies, you got this cover, right? It says Rabid Grannies. The name's great.
I'm sold already. It's called Rabid Grannies.
Sold, just from that. The tagline is, they love grandchildren, .. Well done. Fucking yes. Okay. The little logo.
Can I interrupt you already?
Yeah, of course.
Were there any grandchildren in this? Because they were the aunts, weren't they?
Correct.
Okay.
That's so fucking weird. It's so fucking weird. and then the logo, the cool little logo, some dentures with fangs in a glass of water getting cleaned. And you got these insane looking grandmas, which like, yeah, they look rabid for sure. You see some feet in it, like some like old dirty eaten dead feet. And this little girl being like, what the fuck? This poster spells perfection, right? I said it before. It reminds me a lot of the Parents cover. I don't know why that is. They're totally different.
A-plus marketing.
Just
A-plus
great. Marketing. Yeah, just like you're like, yep. Okay, I'm in. This is cannibalistic relative genre, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's trauma. Like, Lloyd didn't direct this one, but it's still trauma. So, trauma can be fun. Terra Firma is fun. It's over the top. It's ridiculous. You know, Toxic Avenger, same thing.
And trauma did co-produce this. So, they definitely, like, I know we've talked about this before. You kind of need to stick, if you're definitely going to do trauma, you need to stick with a trauma, like, trauma produced, trauma made. Which this so sort of was.
This was actually made in Belgium first.
Okay. And then Trauma
bought it. Yeah, Trauma bought it.
Okay.
And Trauma edited it. The original version is gorier. Which, what are you doing? Why, you're Trauma. Fucking kidding me? Since when do you edit things? Not that it would have made it any better, but like, what the? Isn't that the point of being Trauma, to buy shit that nobody else is going to distribute and just put it out there?
Of course.
What the fuck are you editing things?
Joe,
are you kidding me?
They put out, what's that fucking terrible one that we watch?
The,
The craziest
Poltergeist?
One. No, the craziest one. It was just...
Terra Firmer?
Terra Firmer. That is a movie that probably... They left nothing on the cutting room floor.
No, dude. No. Guy ate a fucking spoonful of shit out of a guy's shitty underwear. Because he thought it was pudding for some reason.
By the way, rehab...
Ron Jeremy has the pickle. That is Troma's MO. They're so much funnier in retrospect, and then you sit down to watch it and you're like, oh man, like, come on. But when you rehash it, it's like, fuck, that's funny.
Yeah, and so the version we watched is the I believe it is the Troma cut. There's a few different cuts. There's a director's cut, there's a Troma cut. I could not get my hands. Oh no, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you right now which one we watched. We watched, oh no, it doesn't say 1.23. Hang on. I'll tell you right now. I don't know which one. I think we watched the director's cut. And the reason I think that is because whenever it was a gory scene, it cut to that weird format. Did you notice that?
I did.
So that's why I think it's got to be the director's cut then. Because if all that shit was cut out, what the fuck was even in the movie? And Joe, if you're Troma, if you chose any movie that you were like, listen, let's edit out the gore so we can tell a real story here.
This is not the one.
This is not the one to do that to.
Dude, this movie is so baffling. I wrote down a quote because I was like, you actually texted me this question today, but I watched this movie yesterday. And before, like, I didn't want to text you and ruin anything or sway your thoughts in any way whatsoever. So I was just scouring the internet. Something, by the way, which I never do. I never want to know anyone else's opinion. I don't want to steal shit. But after I finished this, I was like, I have to see what other people are saying about this just to make sure I'm not missing something.
Right.
And it was overwhelmingly on my side. And I wrote down one from a website called Basement Rejects, and it said, the problem with this movie is, as mentioned, there is no plot past possessed grannies. And I was like, thank you. I have to write that down because there are times when we do movies where I'm like, what am I missing here? But this is like the biggest example of that, because halfway through I'm like, there is nothing that is happening. What am I watching? There's no story to be told. And even at the end, there's no resolution. There was no real climax. It's just shit happening for no reason.
Joe, you're 100% right. I got drunk last night and I watched this and I took notes and I woke up this morning, and I know I felt this way last night also, but I woke up this morning and I could not, I remembered parts of the movie and I remember taking the notes because I was like, I wasn't that drunk, but I could not figure out what the fucking story was for the life of me. And
I looked not there.
I looked at my notes and I was like, I don't understand what happened in this movie. And I think this might be, and we've made fun of a lot of movies for having no story and no plot. I genuinely believe this is the first movie we've done that actually has none.
I was going to say, I don't want to hear a complaint again about Terrifier and Art the Clown for not having a plot because there's this, like, this is a whole different level, whole different playing field.
This is terrifying. This is insane. And what's scary is I think that they thought they had a solid story here and a solid plot.
I don't know what they thought, because also probably the most baffling thing about it is they're really good at fucking special effects. Like,
oh my God,
this movie couldn't have cost them a fucking thing, but somehow they are like phenomenal special effects. And it was just like one day somebody was like, hey, I'm really good at this. Let's just do it for 90 minutes and see what happens.
That had to have been what it was.
It doesn't progress past that whatsoever. It's just like a showcase for these guys' skills, which I'm sure they went on to do a lot of great stuff.
My favorite thing about this movie is the amount of characters that they introduce you to. By the way, this guy directed Kickboxer 2, I think. The director of this movie. Maybe not, though. I might be wrong. I don't know why I'm getting my information from... Oh, no, he did this in Kickboxer 2 in 91, and that was it.
Okay.
So, like, he's somewhere, like, telling his grandkids, like, I made this movie called Rabid Granny. the budget is $150,000. I mean, they're shooting on film.
I thought about this during this movie, funny enough, because you always see these low budget movies and the budgets are always like hundreds of thousands. And it's like, there's no way these guys got loans. There's no way these people had that money. So like, where do they calculate this from? I think about that all the time. Where do they calculate that from? And like, maybe it is like, if they wrote down every single expense over the month, like maybe it's not that unreasonable that eight people spent $150,000 during that time. But like, they definitely didn't just front $150,000. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I think you're right. And I mean, it's kind of like how why can't I think of it? The Peter Jackson's first movie.
Funny enough, I feel like I've said that 100 times. So, full disclosure, Sean got drunk while watching the movie. I got drunk while recording this episode, like more so than usual. Because our whole gimmick from day one, whether people like it or not, sometimes it's a criticism, our whole shtick is to talk scene by scene of what happens. What the fuck are we going to say? Like, I had to drink more this time. How are we going to do an episode on this? I've already forgotten what point I was about to make. So... Carry on.
Oh my god, I forgot too. What were we talking about? We were talking about budgets.
No, you said Peter Jackson.
Oh yeah,
and I said it reminded me when I was watching like the trailer and like looking at the pictures of Dead Alive or Bad Taste, like those disgusting women, like yes. old women with like. Big earrings and like drawn out faces. I was hoping it would be something like that, but he, surprise, surprise, knew how to tell a story, and that's why he became what he is.
And you know what was else was very similar was the like very low volume of the dialogue. But at least in Peter Jackson movies, you can still understand them. In this, I did not know what they were even saying, Joe. I feel like I was nuts. I honestly couldn't hear anything they were saying. If you told me they were speaking another language the whole time, I would have pawed this.
So, were they speaking? So, was this overdubbed? Because I was trying to figure that out too. Because there were times when it looked like it was perfectly paired up, but then there were times where it looked like it was overdubbed. And like, I know it's a Belgian-made movie and they speak French, but. I honestly couldn't tell.
Okay, so are you ready for this fact? Because it blew my fucking mind.
Yes.
I don't know if we've ever seen a movie like this. Maybe this is commonplace. I don't think it is. To sell the movie internationally, the director made the entire... The whole cast was only French-speaking. But he made them read their all their lines in English phonetically. So they were basically like mouthing English words that they didn't know. Like they were just saying the sounds of these words. And then they still overdubbed them.
That's brilliant.
Oh my god. Oh, fuck. That fucking killed me when I found that fact. Because I thought the same thing. It made no sense. Sometimes they were dead on. Like, and I was like, oh, that's wild. Like, you know, maybe it's just luck. And sometimes they were way off. But yeah, no, they were saying English words that they didn't know and then had English people dub it over. So that's fun. Are we going to continue with Trovember?
Did you do the poll on Patreon?
I didn't because I wanted to talk to you about it. Maybe we can, at the end of this, maybe we can go through some titles and try and find one that isn't a flaming piece of shit.
So after last episode, I had a lot of people reach out to me. There was that one Stuck on you was like, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry, people. Everyone that reached out and was like, my vote is for Stuck on You. No, I'm Rabid Granny sucked enough. I'm not doing Stuck on You.
Like a Skinamax comedy. I did those, I did some live streams for the Patreons last night, kind of like a pop-up thing just to have some fun and like talk to people and test out the new platform. And Matt Berry was talking about trauma people, and I was laughing so hard I was almost crying, because he was just like, trauma people smell. Oh, I think Hoovian Hawk was talking about it too. He's like, they all like live there, they all live in the same house. They stink. It's so fucking weird. And I was like, dude, you're totally right. Like, every time I've seen them at a con, it's like a bizarre group of people that appear to be like related or family somehow. Oh, man. We should get into this movie. It was made in 1988. So at the end of this, let's talk about what trauma movies we can choose from.
I mean, it's Killer Condom.
But Joe,
I say that, and I know it's not. Joe, Killer Condom is German, first of all.
Is it? Oh my god! I was gonna say, after this movie, I really don't trust the best names. Like, I feel like we have to Google what are the best trauma movies and like find a Reddit thread on it. Although maybe not. They'll definitely be like, Rabid Granny's a superior storytelling. we need to get a list, because going by name, I was all on board with Killer Condom, but now after seeing this, I'm like, I feel like we're gonna get fucked with Killer Condom. It's gonna be this fucking movie all over again. The only one that I'm interested in, so many people have mentioned it, is that Chopper Chicks in Zombie Town.
I mean, that's a great title.
Which you want to, I know, which like we want to give, again, it's the fucking, the curse of trauma is like, you hear these titles and you're like, holy shit. And the plot's going to be amazing and we're sound amazing. And then we're going to be like all in and it's going to be a piece of shit. Let's look it up. Let's look up what the plot is. Chopper Chicks in Zombie Town. It's a year after this one. It was released by Troma. It was not made by Troma, though, which is probably for the best, right?
Probably.
Billy Bob Thornton's in it. And Hal Sparks. The film is about an all-female motorcycle gang named the Cycle Sluts. they meet an evil scientist turned mortician who has been killing local townspeople with the aid of his long-suffering dwarf assistant and turning them into zombies to use as labor at an abandoned mine. Who makes these fucking movies? Oh my god. All right. Well, the mine is also radioactive.
Of course it is.
All right. Anyway, we'll go through those at the end. Let's talk about Rabid Grannies. You ever drink and you smell like college? does that ever happen to you?
Sean, that's so funny you said that, because while watching Rabid Grannies, I had a 7-on-7 and I made it super strong. And I got like the most... when I lived in the house, I took a job at Kohl's working the midnight shift. So I would restock things until 3 a.m. and I would come home and it'd be like Bizzle and like a bunch of fucking other people. That's what, in case you want to keep it in there, a bunch of other people that would be still awake. And I would immediately go and like make a gin drink or a whiskey drink at 3 a.m. and just get fucked up to like 8 a.m. and just ruining my life. But yes, the answer to your question, yes, I made that drink and it was super strong. I was like, oh my god, I just got a flashback of like hitting me because I'm drinking for no reason right now. I'm watching a shitty movie. You
know? Right. My thing is when I start mixing types of alcohol, like I've been drinking beer and now I just grabbed wine, and like the mix and the aroma of these different alcohols hits me, and it's just like, it smells like the floor of a party house. Like, fucking disgusting. All right. So, Rabid Grannies. We start.
Yes.
We're going to try and do this. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we will. We meet.
I'm already interrupting you. This feels like a bonus. It feels like it should be a bonus episode.
It should
have. Because before you try and break it down scene by scene, we've already talked about how it has no plot. The first 40 minutes, just an FYI for anyone curious about watching this, is so dialogue driven. It's ridiculous. It's so like proper, and it starts with classical music too. And it's on. It's like watching a play. It's very, very baffling.
Joe, can you imagine talking for 40 minutes and not having a plot? Some even accidentally.
That's the thing. That's the thing. So you can give them credit that the first 40 minutes do set up a plot, because they're going to their aunt's house and they all want their aunts to croak so they can get their inheritance. That's what we pick up, because we watch 20 different family members say the same thing, and they're like, I hope those old bags fucking die and give me something. That's fine. That sets something up. But once you get to the house, that's the end. That's the end. And nothing comes back of that. It's such like an unfinished thought. It sets up why they're going there, and then that's it. That's the end of your story.
I feel like every character in this is also an unfinished thought. The characters in this are crazy, and they were really trying to go for like a knife. What was that movie? Knives Out.
Knives Out, dude. You're right.
They were really trying to go for like a Knives Out vibe in this. Like eight different people. They all have these backstories.
Yeah, like a whodunit. Except you know who did it from the get go because they tell you. And also, none of it makes sense. And all the characters, all the backstory that they're giving you is totally useless.
It's so true. And Joe, I'm bad in these movies when it comes to keeping track of their names and stuff. I'm really bad at that. And I know that. But this movie, I did not know anyone's even remotely what they were doing or who they were. No.
So first of all, I never write notes. Second of all, maybe I'll write like, you know, four or five lines down of something I want to talk about. I have like two things written down here. And the only people I can remember distinctly is the portly guy and his girlfriend, who for some reason doesn't want to say that they're dating. And it comes into, which like, why are you bringing her to dinner then? And then it comes into play at some point because she's like, oh yeah, we've been together for a while. And then like you hear like a record skip and like everybody looks at him. He's like, whoa, she didn't mean that. But I don't know why they're saying that.
There's like three couples with the same plot, which is like, no one should know we're dating.
And none of it comes into play ever. It has nothing to do with what's about to happen.
I'm laughing so hard. It's so insane. Why did they give the same plot to three different couples? There's that couple, there's the lesbian couple, and then there's another couple, and they're all the same plot. They're all like, God, if anyone knew we were together. Why are you bringing that?
Why are you bringing that? Yeah.
Oh my god, it's fucking madness. And the lesbian couple was at least the smartest one, because she's a writer, and she was like, you're my... Like, what did they call it? They had a name for it. And it's, I'm saying that like it's like a weird word, but it's not a weird word. It's like contemporary or something, right? She's like, oh, I told them you're my contemporary. But like the big fat guy's like, they can't know we're married. Like, why?
Right, why?
He's like, they'll cut me out of the will. What the fuck? Oh my god!
Again, why? Why would they do that? There's no indication as to why they would do that. At least I don't think so. Maybe they said it. So someone's gonna be like, "Well, you weren't listening."
Oh my god! Here's the thing: the woman's significantly younger than him. I think they say 30 years, possibly, and it's his second wife. Who that wouldn't even fucking matter. And again, why would you bring her? Especially if you don't have a story, which they didn't. I think they were just like, yeah, just say you're a person. And then they cut to other people and they're like, oh god, it's Jerry and his new wife. And by the way, his name's not Jerry. That's made up because I don't know anyone's fucking name in this. So other people do know and he's just, whatever. He looks like Harry Potter's uncle.
Uncle Vernon?
Vernon Dursley. One of my favorite characters of all time in the Harry Potter series. He's such a piece of shit. Dude, one of my favorite scenes, and I don't know why, it just fucking cracks me up so much, is when, I forget which movie it's in. I think it's like the one where it's the last time Harry Potter's in the house, maybe. But what's the kid's name? Dudley? Dudley Dursley?
Is it Dudley Dursley? I don't know why. I do know why I can't remember. Feeling nice, but
yeah, it's Dudley Dursley. It's Dudley Dursley. So Dudley Dursley comes stomping down the stairs because he just does that to piss Harry off because Harry lives under the stairs, and he's like. He's like, there's only 43 presents under the tree. And fucking Harry's Uncle Vernon is like, oh, well, you know, they are significantly bigger than last year. And he's like, only off by like one. And he's like, they are significantly bigger. That shit fucking cracks me up. Anyway, I wish this was Vernon Dursley. It's not, though. I looked it up. I don't know why I thought it would be him, but I gave up. I had a lot of hope in it.
One of the first things that I wrote down is that I had said out loud, this is the most low budget movie I have ever seen. And Tina goes, are you sure about that? Which, cause she watched it with me, unfortunately for her, which made me raise the question, is this the most low budget movie that we've done?
Yeah, it's close, but I mean, did we do an episode on Dead Body Man or no? No.
I think we did.
Joe, there's no way. Did we really?
Yeah, we were at Paul's house.
Joe, how do we have the following we do?
Fucking Dead Body Man.
Covering a movie you can literally find nowhere.
For no reason. For no reason.
Like, no one's like, please cover Dead Body Man. It's just a movie you guys found.
we found in college, and Paul laughed so hard at the ending that he wound up in the fetal position, which, by the way, it's not that funny. It's not that ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Imagine if we, like, pandered to the audience. How many listeners we have? We have an insane amount of listeners. And we're doing shit like that. Dead Body. A movie no one could watch even if they wanted to. All right, let's get into this fucking movie. All right.
Yeah.
So we open with two priests. One of them says his aunts will be having a Remington family tradition, which... Yeah, it's a Remington family tradition. It's a birthday party for his two fucking aunts. Like, yeah, it's a fucking birthday. Yeah, birthdays tend to be traditions, you piece of shit. Also, why do these people hate their aunts so much?
they never reveal that. But there's never any person that's like, oh, they're not that bad. It's literally every person in the car is like, I can't wait till these fucking old pieces of shit die.
Even the relatives that aren't relatives, like the significant others and the wives that haven't met them yet, are like, yeah, I can't wait till they fucking die. Oh, man, we get these credits and we meet the two aunties who are just being old ladies, shopping, giving wine to the homeless guy. Here's the weird thing, though. For this not being a trauma film, it is shot exactly like a trauma film.
Yes, it is.
Like, I don't know. I got the trauma vibe from it right off the bat, which I thought was interesting.
I don't know how they do that. Like, the ones that they acquire
right
to, like, distribute, they're all shot the same way. Maybe that just means it's just bad filmmaking. Like, they just find that don't know what they're doing. That's why they all look the same.
I think that's, like, a part of it. And it's probably they're using the same, probably, like, cheaper cameras. I mean, all camera was film at the time. You know what I mean? So it was all very expensive equipment. So they were probably all using the same cheap model, right, in the same film. I don't know. There's something about it. But the way they're shot are just all very similar. Maybe, you know what, the underlying theme is probably, like, film school students who, like, were taught certain ways to shoot and then all coming in with the same technique. And this was shot in France or Belgium.
France or Belgium.
Both. Jury's out. Even with them, they're not sure. Now, the first characters we meet, besides the aunties and the priests, are these a maid and her mother, who is the chef of the family?
Yep.
two characters, which I'm pretty sure this chef, this cook, maid, cook, mom, I'm pretty sure she's the one on the cover of the box art. I'm like 90% sure that's her on the cover, dude.
Are you talking about the yellow, the one in the yellow? Is that the box art you're talking about? It's like the little girl in the pigtails and the two behind her?
Yes, the two behind her. I thought she was the one in the left, but I might be nuts because the maid looks like a rabbit granny.
But yeah, before the curse happens,
the cook looks like a rabid granny, and I really was like, oh, this is her. But then I was like, why is her daughter a maid? Dude. And these characters are highlighted frequently throughout the movie, and
I know you're gonna say this when it happens, but I'm gonna say it now anyways. Yeah. They go out to meet someone at the gate, and that's when, like, the curse happens, and that cook lady's like, who are you gonna meet, the devil? And like, she's clearly looks already possessed and disgusting. And it's just her. Fucking Valentino stripper.
100%. And they highlight these people frequently in this movie in the first 40 minutes. The maid and the maid is a younger woman and this older mother of hers. And what is their role in this movie? Nothing. They do nothing. They're killed later on. But that's fine. We then meet, Uncle Dursley and his beautiful wife. And they're just screaming at each other. I don't understand a single thing they're saying. The volume was cranked down so low on these people's vocals. It was unbelievable. I couldn't hear anything they were fucking saying. And then, by the way, if you're going to overdub it and make these people phonetically speak English, maybe we don't use people with English accents and turn the volume down all the way. Because the accents are thick, and I just don't hear a fucking thing they're saying. But, like, imagine me and you make a movie, and we're, like, using foreign actors, and we're like, listen, we got to sell this to the United States. So, like, let's do this, and we'll get English dubbing. And then what do? Then we're like, can we have the people that cannot speak the clearest English? And make sure, turn that volume to probably, like, a 1. Put it to a 1.
And also have them just do dialogue for the first 25 minutes.
Oh man. Basically, I don't understand what he's saying, but he wants the aunts to die, which we talked about. And his reasoning is so he can use the money to help his business. Oh, and by the way, I just remembered because I just read my note. The wife is like, does the family know you've remarried? And he's like, they don't. And he said, he's told them he's bringing a singer with him. That's his excuse. He's like, hey, by the way, mom, aunts, I'm bringing a singer with me. Oh, man. We meet another person. This guy, he builds weapons. And they tell you this stuff like you're going to care about these characters or need to know them. You don't.
That's what I was saying before. They spend so much time right here in this first act.
Right.
Giving backstories to characters. And then just to give up on them. Just be like, well, that's enough. Yeah.
It's like doing the first 30 minutes of Knives Out and then being like, you know what? Fuck it. You know what? I'm fucking exhausted. Because, like, that's how it starts. Like, you meet all these unique characters, right? Like, sort of. But, like, why even develop a personality for this guy? Like, they couldn't...
Exactly.
They couldn't even structure the family in a way that I understood. I don't know how any of these people are related or if they are. Besides that they have... Some of them have aunts. Oh, God. We meet another person. It's a woman. She's on a bike. She's hearing voices. Those voices don't come into play. The bike doesn't come into play. And I'm not sure who she is. Then we meet another person who is driving a car super fast. And I wish he identifies the woman on bike by her name, but I don't hear it. But he announces her as, oh, it's whatever her name is, the family virgin. And then runs her off the road. What the fuck is wrong with this movie? Oh, my God. We then meet the gay couple, two women who they also are hiding their relationship from the aunties. And they are playing it as a collaborator for writing. So this woman brought her, I don't think they're married, brought her girlfriend there and is telling people, so we have a singer and a collaborator for writing for a one-night dinner party.
Which, like, if the writers were good at what they do, like, that would be the one that could, like, make sense. Like, these are older couples. Like, maybe they're not.
Of course, like,
they're
assholes, yeah.
You know, they're frowning upon that, and then something comes of that. But they threw that out the window by giving the same plot to everyone else that showed up. And also, nothing, like there's no redemption for this. There's nothing. It's just weird. not them, but like it's just weird to throw all this in with the same plot for everybody.
And quite possibly the most offensive thing for this gay couple is 10 minutes into the movie, because we're gonna be there, is the guy that runs the woman off the road, who's I wanna say he's a dickhead, but like really we don't know that much about him. We really don't, and we don't learn anything more than this. This scene where all these people are driving in is where we get all the exposition, right? Everything's spelled out here, but nothing is spelled out. So this is all we've got. This is all we've got to go by. But that guy approaches the girlfriend of his cousin, I guess. I don't know how they're related. Anyway, he approaches the girlfriend and he's like, dude, I could not believe this scene. He goes, and I know I'm skipping ahead, but he's like, yeah, I know you want a man. Like, he's like hitting on her and she's like, listen, I'm not about that. And he's like, I know you want a man. And then she's like, all right, fine. And just fucking starts having sex with him. It's the most unbelievable scene I've ever seen. So fucking offensive. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so all these people are just driving in. That's what these scenes are. They're just them driving in. And every single one of them tells us how miserable they are about coming to this. So I don't know why any of them are coming. I think it's just because they don't get written out of the will, is my guess.
Yeah, I think that's the most logical thing that they were able to write in this movie. Is that,
and they're all next to each other. They're all side by side because we hear them referencing other people. And they're like, oh, look at him. He's with his new wife. Oh, man. And I don't know any of these characters' names. So we'll see how this goes. Now's the scene where... now's the scene where the guy's harassing the girls, the girlfriend of a girl. Like, how is anyone supposed to know what I'm talking about? I can't even reference these people properly. Anyway, that guy also, when he's talking to the girlfriend, he goes, he tries to purchase her. He's like, how much is it going to take for me to buy you? And then ultimately she goes to him for free because he's like, you want a man. Okay. Well, they all go to dinner. They prepare the lobster in one of the most bizarre fashions I've ever seen in my life. They've prepped the lobster so they're like standing up with their arms out. I've never seen anything like it. That honestly probably took the majority of the budget.
It's funny because it's such an insignificant scene, and like that really stood out to me almost more so than anything other than the transformations. Like,
absolutely. Why? That's why the only thing that stood out was this fucking fucking lobster standing upright on their fucking hind legs. Oh, man. All the women in this movie are just constantly being harassed. The priest is... he's a weirdo. He almost stabs a kid in the movie, like with a fork. And they're like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm teaching him how to use a fork. The kid's like 10 years old. Oh, man. The maid. Okay. So first of all, do you know any of these people's relation to each other or no?
No, of course not.
Okay. I felt like I was losing my mind when I was watching this. The maid goes out. This is there's like a doorbell. The mom sends the maid out, the younger maid out. This is what you were talking about. And the woman goes out there, and there's a lady at the gate, and she's like, open this gate, open this gate. So she opens it. She's wearing like a fucking Count Dracula cloak. Like, just go inside. Like, the fuck are we doing? She says, would you give them this and wish them the best birthday of their lives? And then that lady leaves. Now.
So I know they allude to this, right? And I don't think we've mentioned it yet. There's somebody that didn't show up, right? It's like the black sheep of the family. And honestly, I only know this from trying to read the synopsis. Because even Wikipedia doesn't know what's going on. Because it gives like a 2-sentence synopsis. So apparently the one that doesn't show up is a devil worshiper. I'm not even sure they mentioned that. But he didn't show up, so he sent that lady.
Which is insane. And his name is Christopher. And by the way, if all these people hate the aunties, they all hate Christopher 1,000 times more. For not a whole lot of reason. But yeah, we're going to get into that. So he's the one that sent this gift, right? And it's insane. So the woman that married Fred, this is the first name I have written down. I don't know who it is. Oh, it's Harry's uncle. Harry Potter's uncle is Fred. This is that scene you were talking about. She randomly yells out, I don't regret marrying Fred, out of nowhere and for no reason. After he was like, listen, you can't fucking say a word about this. And then that's when the record scratches and everyone's shocked. But nothing comes from that. There's no side plot. There's no anything. Everyone's just like, okay. And then Fred's just like, hey, this woman's an idiot. And everyone's like, oh, okay. also, the aunties start like talking, And they are, they appear to be doing an ad, like I would call it an Adam Sandler old lady voice. This can't be their real voices. She's like, someone brought me a gift and we should open this, shouldn't we? And it's like the most cartoonish voice of an old woman I've ever heard. And no one else brought them presents.
Adam Sandler voice. That's dead on.
And no one else brought them a present, which they're all like, oh shit, should we have brought a present? Dude, this whole weekend has been about you guys impressing these women and like hiding shit from them. And none of them brought a present.
Literally just buttering them up by being there. Just gracing them with their presence.
And the present is from Christopher, who everyone hates. And we're told that Christopher, the big issue here is that we're told Christopher was celebrating a black mass in a cemetery once. And like, that's the reason everyone fucking hates this guy. And they hate him. As soon as they say her name, they're like, oh, fucking Christopher, what a piece of shit. Oh, man. So they open the box. There's another box in there. And this conveniently coincides with the birthday cake coming out, which I wrote that note thinking, you know, figuring something was going to come out of the box and go into the cake. But instead, the cake's fine. But it does get into their drinks. So, like, they interrupted that scene with the cake being brought out, and then ultimately didn't need the cake in the scene whatsoever. Oh, boy. And then somehow the aunties are just infected, right? And now starts really where you start seeing the plot just devolve into nothing, because we see smoke come out of the box and it kind of lingers over the drink, but we don't understand what that means, what it is, or why anything is happening. The aunties get infected, and for some reason everyone at the table is chanting a song, right? I think it's like their birthday chant, maybe. I don't know. But they're chanting a weird song. And then they're like, where's the knife? We'll never get the cake cut. And then one of the auntie's fucking fingernails turns into like a fucking 14-inch knife and cuts the cake with her fucking fingernail.
Which, the effect is fucking fantastic.
It's insane. Especially it's disgusting.
For a movie that nothing's happened until this point, like, there's no inkling that anything cool is going to develop. Like, there's been zero effects whatsoever. It's just been people doing things.
I was really concerned. Cool, I was really concerned.
Dude, I was like, we're halfway through this. Is anything going to happen?
I was concerned. And then I was also equally concerned with the rabid grannies on the cover. They weren't really looking like that, you know? They weren't looking zombified, which is funny because they look zombified for probably 30 seconds before they turn into full-on monsters for the remainder of the movie. The other auntie's hand has like a monster hand, and she grabs the woman across the table by the face. And I don't think we see what happens with her. And then chaos ensues. Then the aunties kill the maid. Very abruptly. The one that they're setting up to possibly be like a larger character in this movie, she's fucking dead. She's fucking dead as a doornail. My favorite things about this movie so far. They don't know what's happening, but they have conversations that are like, if we want to make it through the night, why do you have to make it through the night? Like, they haven't told us anything, right?
Right. It's not like Evil Dead, where it's like, you know, they're trying to wait till the clock. You know, they have a Necronomicon, right, which is telling them anything.
Right.
Like, why do they need to make it through the night? They need to get out of there.
Like, I genuinely think that they had just seen Evil Dead and Dead Alive, and they were just like, they'll figure it out. Like, we don't need to explain it. They'll just know. They've seen those movies. So we'll just randomly say these lines. Because that is a quote. They say, if we want to make it through the night. Why is that going to change anything? And why don't you just, like, no one tried to leave ever in this movie, by the way.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Which, by the way, they could have very easily. There's nobody preventing them. In fact, they all end up like going to the same room, which is like the worst place that they could have possibly gone, and just set themselves up to be murdered.
In the last 15 minutes, the fucking butler leaves the house and goes to the car to get something out of the car. And I was like, are you fucking kidding? Like, you could have fucking left the house at any time. Because, like, three quarters of the way through, you're thinking, okay, they didn't address it, but, like, okay, I'll assume that you can't, like, all the doors are locked or something. But then we watch the guy go outside and go get guns from the car. Oh, my God. So we got, like you said, we've got two groups of family, and they've barricaded themselves in different rooms. I wish I could tell you who, but I don't fucking know any of these people. Or who is dating who, or who is related to, except Harry Potter's uncle, who is in one room, and he is like, they don't exist, they're not real. Dude, the ultimate anti-masker, who's like, they all watched them transform and saw that happen, and everyone's like, we're all gonna die, and he's like, they don't exist, and then he goes up, and then he comes back 2 seconds later, and he's got cuts all over his face, and he's like, okay, they exist. Which, I'm not even entirely sure that was the witch, because when that happens, all you hear are cat noises in the background, and he's only got two scratches on his face, so I'm not entirely sure that was one of the aunties. The other weird part about that is, and it happens a few times in this movie, the aunts are not very efficient at killing people. Like, you can escape their clutches, you know, like multiple people have encounters with them and survive.
Right.
Like, they escape with like flesh wounds, and then they're like, it's really weird.
But then other times they like eat people.
Dude, they literally rip you in half.
Because there's times where they like, you know, just scratch you, and it's literally just like a scratch that anybody's fingernails would give you. Yes. There's other times where for some reason they devour you, bite off your head.
It's so weird. The weirder younger guy that hits on everyone, and the wife of Harry Potter's uncle, they're walking around together. I believe that's who we're watching. And they're attacked by an auntie who now looks not like an auntie, but looks like Yellow Bastard from Sin City, but just red, but just a red version of Yellow Bastard, like a big bulbous head, bald ass head. It's fucking bizarre. And then they encounter them, they get attacked, and then they get away. And the movie cuts, and they were walking around hallways, and then it cuts, and then they're in a sewer. I've never seen anything so baffling in my life. I thought it was different people, but it's the same people, and they're still somehow being followed.
Also, why?
And why? No, why is any of this happening? Oh my God, it's so fucking weird. And by the way, these people who are in the sewer also somehow make it out and into a car. And they're driving away, and somehow the auntie like throws open the back door and climbs in. She does not appear to kill the guy driving the car, but she puts her hands on his face.
Just covers his eyes.
Dude, I love it. That's what happens.
She could have just killed him on the spot, but instead just wants him to not be able to see where he's driving.
Oh my God, it's so weird.
Dude, did you notice there was like a a banana peel gag in this movie, except it wasn't a banana. It was just somebody's like intestines.
But, no.
They ripped somebody open. I don't remember who, but like, you know, some of the gore fell on the ground and then somebody slipped on it like a banana peel.
No fucking way. Oh my God. So the auntie covers this guy's face, which I guess kills him because he's not in the movie anymore after this. And the girl tries to run, but they grab her. I've never seen anything so stupid. It's insane. The girl gets free, and then the auntie is like, kill her. And somehow the guy that she put her hands on runs her over and slams her into the fence. And this is our first real, I would say our first real crazy gore in the movie. Because she is like mushed up against the grate, mushed up against the fence, like Play-Doh. Right? Like she's like coming through it.
This is just like a showcase for this. Like they're so good at making gore and making special effects.
They really are. I hope those guys got fucking jobs after this.
They didn't. I don't know that to be true. They might have. They might be super successful.
They're not, Joe.
I know.
Oh my God. Also, in one of the better scenes in the movie, there's like two kids in this movie that I didn't know existed in the movie, to be honest with you, until the scenes happened with them. But anyway, one of them is a little girl. The other's a little boy. The mother, somebody's like, hey, where's your kid? And she's like, oh my God, I let her go to the bathroom and she hasn't come back. And somehow this girl is still wandering around the house after going to the bathroom. She's never found her way home. She finds the creepiest room of all time, which is just like an old attic-y space. And we don't see what happens there. But this movie has so much fucking talking. I wrote a note here that was just like, I can't believe how boring a movie is with made by Troma.
I guess that's the difference between what they distribute and Lloyd making it. Cause at least Lloyd would have like, you know, had a lot more dick jokes.
Lloyd would have just been a character in it and it still would have been an awful piece of shit. But I guess things happen in Lloyd's movies.
They do. He would have brought in like, you know, washed up porn stars that for some reason everyone could recognize and they would have some stupid role.
It's so true. And then he'd complain about why they're not blockbuster.
Every movie that doesn't make it big, I'm generally confused by. Like, fuck you. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God. Should we do another interview with Lloyd?
Yeah, because he's not going to listen to this.
So, no, of course he's not. Even if he did, he'd be like, oh, yeah, well, okay. I'd love to get Lloyd's commentary on the recent election. You know what? I'm gonna email him tonight. Let's see if we can get him on. Would you want to have him on again?
Oh, yeah. Dude, first off, in all seriousness, Lloyd was the first person I ever interviewed in my entire life. And he was super cool. And like, he was very, like, gracious and, like, made us feel comfortable. So I have a lot of respect for Lloyd. And you know, we're ripping on him right now. But Lloyd's, like, you know Lloyd's name. He's pretty legendary.
And Lloyd does whatever the fuck he wants. And I do appreciate that about any artist.
He does.
He does. And that's why we do like Troma. And that's why we want to do Trovember. But it's all the other movies that we have a problem with. It's fucking insane.
Lloyd built an empire. The empire is made of shit, but he still built the empire, you know?
My empire. Imagine Johnny Cash was singing about Lloyd Kaufman. Wait, I said Johnny Cash as if he wrote that. Fucking... What's his name? Trent Reznor. Lloyd, I had something else I was going to say about Lloyd. I can't remember what it was. Oh, Lloyd did make us feel really comfortable, right? Like, it was the first thing we did for the show celebrity-wise. Yeah. And then it was really funny because that same convention, we had booked a bunch of other ones, and they all fell through, and we all saw the true side of people. And Lloyd was the only one that was like, oh, yeah, like, I'll make it work, right? And then other
people... So, Lloyd definitely made it work. And, like, I remember, you know, because we were still, like, what's the term? Wet behind the ears or whatever. Yeah. And like, I remember both of us being like, hey, like, are we taking too much of your time? Like, there seems to be people waiting. He'd be like, dude, do whatever the fuck you want. Like, you got me right now. Like, well, he's like, he's literally just like, when you feel like you're done, we'll be done. So it's like, you're the fucking man.
Yeah, it was really nice. Comparatively, the other people we interviewed, or tried to interview were not that. Specifically, what was that fucking, what's the fucking guy that does the Crypt Keeper's voice?
Dude, you want to throw shots at him?
I'm going to fucking throw shots, dude, because what the fuck's he going to do? He's not doing shit.
I knew you were going to do it. John Kassir. Dude, John it's so Kassir. Funny because literally everybody I've ever talked to is like, dude, he's the nicest guy in the world.
I'm John sure he is when you pay $30 to get his fucking autograph, which is what he asked us to do for a fucking interview that we fucking booked like 3 months ahead of time. And then was like, sorry, I don't have time for an interview, but would you like to pay $30 and I'll talk into your microphone for you? Yeah, that's exactly why I'm here, you stupid piece of shit. Thank you. Dumb asshole. Anyway, that said, the reason I was thinking about that recently was somebody mentioned Joe Bob, and like they were like, have you ever talked to Joe Bob before? And I said, we were supposed to do an interview with him and it fell through, but like that was not his fault really, right? Like,
right.
And unlike the Crypt Keeper guy, like I would rather John Kassir been like, hey, man, sorry, I don't have the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Instead of being like, I do have the time if you pay me $30. That's fucking sleazy. Joe Bob was like, hey, guys, like, I'm really sorry, I don't have the time. We booked that ahead in advance. And his girlfriend was, like, really nice and, like, was like, I'm so sorry. Like, and he was, like, really tied up. But he did talk to us.
He did. He was super gracious. And, like... He only had like 5 minutes before going to his next thing. And
right.
He was asking us like where we came from and be like, how are you guys enjoying it so far? Like we've known him, you know, it was right. Like a nice conversation.
It was really nice. And it was like, and like that I'm fine with, like shit happens, right? Like we can't make everything. And we booked a lot of people and like he didn't know his times because the con's kind of like, I think he was doing like panels and shit too. So
he was.
So they didn't know the times in advance. So they were like, yeah, just come and try and find him. And I think we went and he wasn't there. And then we went again. And then he was heading off to another panel. And it was like, fuck it. But yes. That fucking Kassir guy, man. And then Lloyd was fucking amazing. And maybe he set the bar a little too high for availability. Because he was just like, come talk to me whenever you want.
It's true. Dude, he even said as soon as we finished, he was like, yeah, if you guys want to come back, shoot the shit. I'll be here all day. Yeah. It's like,
you guys want to, like, come over and talk sometime? Lonely Lloyd. Oh, man. Anyway. I don't know how we got off on that tangent.
Yeah. Are we still talking about this movie?
Yeah, we are. But we're almost done. The movie's almost over.
I can't tell if people are going to like this episode or not, because I'm having a lot of fun doing it, but I don't know if it's going to.
I don't either. Because I mean, last week's episode, I was like, oof, I don't know if people are going to like this. Also, still very funny how many people love Halloween 2018, right?
Dude, honestly, Sean, I honestly meant to text you this. It was like refreshing because so many people in this day and age, it's like if you don't have the same opinion as them, you're the enemy. they're just like, fuck you. And so many people are like, hey, I completely disagree with you, but I loved every second of your episode. It was honestly refreshing.
It was so nice. And in today's world where people leave us comments that are like, you said Amityville Horror was a bad movie. Or no, wait, I'm sorry. Amityville Horror, what, 2 or 3? Whichever one we did. Like, and we're upset, mad at us for that. Like, that's crazy. Like Halloween 2018 is like such a better made film. Like, and we still shit on that. So if you liked that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But that's the point of the show, right? Like, who gives a shit? I wasn't sure that episode was going to be anything. I was really worried about it, and people seemed to really enjoy that. So I don't know what they're going to think about this, because there's no fucking.
It feels like a mess. It feels like a mess, but this the movie has no plot, and neither does this episode. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's very fitting.
Like an episode, like our episodes are like playing with Play-Doh usually, or Legos, where you have like, we have like a normal structure and we can just build up and off of it. And this is like playing with fucking like a puddle of mud. Like, you literally can't build anything off of it. We don't know any of the characters' names. We don't know what's happening in the movie. And it's not our fault entirely. But it is insane. Like, it's fucking insane. All right. So, where are we? Everyone's out looking around the house. I don't know what they're looking for. I think they're looking for the girl. The scenes of the gore, and I don't know if this is on every copy or just the copy we watched. It looks like they're shot with a fucking potato. It cuts from, like restored high definition to like dog shit, like Windows Media Player 1999 quality. It's so weird. And we go to a scene that it cuts to this, and they're looking for the little girl who is supposed to be using the bathroom, and we find her, but we find a dog eating her legs, and the girl is sitting there legless dying. That is wild, dude.
Agreed.
That is fucking wild. The mom runs away after seeing her daughter limbless and dead, grabs her son, scoops him up, starts running, but then sees her son again, and the kid's like, Mommy, what's going on? And then she looks at the kid she picked up, and it's one of the aunties, because it's like the kid's got like fake teeth in. And he's like, ah, and then just bites off her fucking fingers. Bites her fingers clear off. Oh, man. They run away, but the aunties are on their heels. By the way, I don't know how many of the errors you noticed in this movie, because the movie's just so poorly made. But that mother lost her fingers in a hallway, right?
Right.
She's running. So you imagine she's running. She's never stopped running because an aunt just possessed her child and then bit her fingers off. The next scene, it cuts and she's in a room and her hand is completely bandaged. Like, just between cuts, shit just happens that we aren't told about. Like, they're just like, make it up. Like, wait, but think, you know, honestly, for anyone that supported the Sopranos finale where it's like, hey man, the end's up to you. What happened to Tony? It's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The use your imagination. This movie's made for you because every time it fucking cuts, something, use your fucking imagination. Don't complain about this movie if you were okay with the Sopranos finale. Because the filmmakers are just like, hey, listen, something happened in between her getting her fingers bit off and this room 2 seconds later. That's up to you. How did she get the bandage? Would you watch this movie on mushrooms?
No. I wouldn't watch this movie ever.
I would watch this movie on mushrooms. I don't know whether it would be a bad trip or a good trip, though.
Dude, what a fucking nightmare. Dude, because you'd be lulled into that, like, false sense of security at the beginning. Be like, well, this isn't... It would just emulate your trip. Like, you'd be like, well, nothing's kicking in yet. And then and the bullshit at the end, fucking lose your mind.
Eating some guy's booty hole. All right. We should keep going. I think this episode, I think we've hit our hour mark anyway. Which is insane.
After 11 o'clock.
Which is insane.
We started at eight with the
podcast. Yeah, we gotta start doing this earlier. I think the IG's gotta start at like 7:30 and then we start recording at 8. All right. So the aunties, they get stabbed in the eye with a stake, trying to enter a room. You think this would be a key to something in the future. It's not. It doesn't matter. They're fine. The children's father, I think, he's locked in another room with a priest. And he's finally like, hey, I should figure out where my wife and kids are. And the priest is like, are you fucking nuts? and he leaves. And everyone is just kind of sitting around in these different rooms. Not a lot is happening. The aunties, they fucked some people up. But also some people seem to be evading them pretty well. So I would just leave. If I were any of these people, I would just fucking leave. But they don't. Two people go to the kitchen. They find the old lady, the maid's mother, and her face is just fucking melted completely. But we didn't see anything about that. Two guys, a butler, it's the butler who we haven't really talked a lot about, but I guess he was the surprise main character of the movie. And Harry Potter's uncle. How are these guys alive? By the way, did you notice around this period, like, there were like all of these people that were alive that you thought were dead? Did that happen to you?
I can't say that it did, but also my interest was very, very low at this point.
Because so the butler and like Harry Potter's uncle were alive, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then they proceeded to find like six other people that were alive, and I was like, I could have sworn they've already killed like 10 fucking people. Like, why are all these people still around? Anyway, they somehow discover how to get out. It's a tunnel, right? And the butler's like, you're too fat to get through this. But he's going for it anyway. And by the way, that's literally what the butler says. I'm not paraphrasing and being an asshole. The butler's like, you're too fat. And Harry Potter's uncle's like, fuck you. And then goes in, and then 2 seconds later is like, help me, I'm stuck. And this causes the aunties to hear them. So they come running and they eat his ass. And the weird thing here too, besides eating a grown man's ass, is that sometimes the granny's faces look like they're puppets, right? Did you notice?
Yes, they do. That's what I was saying before about like Dead Alive. Like, you know, when the mom turns.
Yes.
Sometimes
you're right.
Sometimes she looks like a puppet. Sometimes she just has makeup on. Like, that's what this looked like.
What is the point of that? Like, just put the makeup on the ladies and do it, unless it's shot after, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, they eat his ass, and they are literally ripping his butt to shreds and his like legs, like tearing it. Is gory, right? Dude, there's a scene where she like rips the skin off his ass and starts licking the inside of the fucking skin. It's fucking vile.
It is vile. Like, the movie is gory when it wants to be.
Oh my god. And then the butler, by the way, is in the same room. But these aunts have like supersonic hearing. The butler's in the same room vomiting on himself. And the aunties don't pay him two minds until he's like, it's too much. You hear me? I'll kill you. He runs away, and he's able to get to the car and not drive away. Instead, he goes to the guns, which I don't understand why this is happening. But what's more confusing is why he then re-enters the house with the guns and starts shooting dishes. The aunts have not been hard to spot.
No, and nobody has, like, fought back. Have you noticed that, too? Like,
yes.
Nobody's developed a plot to stop them. Nobody's been like, we need to fight back. They've just kind of wandered from room to room and gotten, like, ripped apart.
And then, and like, to show you just how inconsistent it is, one of the aunties finally shows up. He unloads bullets into her, like a million bullets. She's fine. But then he trips her. Like, have a nice trip, see you next fall trip. And that incapacitates the aunt momentarily. And then he's super surprised to see the other one who shows up in knight's armor. And she chops off his arms and both of his legs. And then sticks an axe in his dick and lifts him in the air. Wait, you know what, Joe? This scene must have cost so much fucking money in props. Because, like, he's elevated in the air, and it is the actor. It's not a puppet. Like, his body is in the air. And it's just his torso, and he's got one arm. And then they take him from the axe and, like, heave him off of this giant stick and throw the body down the stairs. It's, like, one of the most insane kills that we've ever seen. Like, not insane is in great or gory. It's just absurd.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. You've already killed him. And then to, like, kind of, like, do this weird half-ass throw where the torso just kind of rolls down the stairs. It's so silly. Oh, man. I was about to say, I think the priest is the only one left, but there's like three other fucking people. Maybe more. I don't even know. The aunties go after the priest, which, like, this movie's so weird because there's like some moments where you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, instead of just killing the priest, they're torturing the priest by being like, hey, listen, we're going to torture you for hours. And you're going to wish you were fucking dead. And you'll go to heaven. Or you can kill yourself. And you're going to go to hell. But we won't be able to torture you. That is such the most, like, diabolical thing I've ever heard.
I just, diabolical and like an existential dilemma for a movie that has no reason to bring this into it whatsoever.
Has shown no genuine thought whatsoever into it. They give this priest the greatest, like, puzzle of all time. It's fucking crazy. And he kills himself. Like, dude, by the way, he kills himself. The effects are like the fucking cover of a Mayhem album. Fucking brain splattered on the wall. It's fucking insane. It was genuinely gross. I was fucking grossed out by it. All right. We got two more family members left, I think. Every time somebody died in this movie, I was like, oh, there's one more. And there's always another one.
And like, you haven't seen them. They just, like, pop out of rooms. Like, hey, remember me?
And you don't even remember them.
Like, of course not. Of course not.
So we got, like, this, like, maybe husband and wife. They might have just been made up. I don't know. But the lady looks like a McPoyle from, like, It's Always Sunny. And they have the box. They have the box that the granny's, the fucking curse came from, I guess. And they're going to destroy it. And then McPoyle is like, we should kill it in a consecrated place. Let's go to the chapel. Why would you even be thinking about that? And why is there a chapel on the premises?
Why is it coming into play now?
And like, again, we don't know anything about this box. They have yet to say fucking anything. We don't know what this is or why. Why does it have to be in a consecrated place? Is it the devil? Is it from the Black Mass? We have no fucking idea. They've never even they've never given us an ounce of information about what is happening or what the aunties are, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
Rabid grannies, the idea of maybe grannies getting bitten by a raccoon and losing their minds or something, I'm down with. That's an easy thing. And you could just tell us that. We don't know even what the fuck happened here. You're fucking bizarre.
I mean, I just assume they're possessed, but like, again, why? And, you know, what's the end game?
And why would anyone else assume that they're... anyway. Okay. So they go to the chapel, but the aunties kill the guy by folding him in half. Oh, and there's more people alive. We see like two more people show. It's fucking insane. The brunette lady, she's banging on the door. There's another kid. There's a little boy now somehow. And another lady. They let her in. They let the McPoyle in. And the lady starts smashing the box with a crucifix. It's like, you assume is like, this isn't going to work. Because she already said to go to a consecrated site. But it does work. Because their heads start bubbling and exploding. And in the weirdest thing, they just turn back to the old grannies. The old aunties.
Yeah, I was expecting them to like explode, you know?
Yeah.
Like, or face melt. Or
no, they just turn back to the old grannies who are like, what happened? We get a very calm ending too, which is insane because of, you know, everything that happened. But this kid's whole family is murdered. And then one of the, it's a little boy. He's like 10. And, one of his relatives, we don't know what, I assume an aunt or something, is like, well, will you, I guess you'll get to live with me. And this guy just saw his entire family get wiped out. And he goes, oh, that's smashing. Is it? Are you sure that's smashing? Sounds like a fucking nightmare. Everyone you love is dead. We see a cop or maybe a taxi driver, unsure, driving around one of the ladies. I think it's the McPoyle. I guess he's driving her home. And we see her turn into what the evil grannies were, and she kills him. And we see that because she leaves his arm outside of the car. And that's the end of the movie. And my final note here while I was drunk was, did this movie have a story?
The answer is no. No, it did not.
What a fucking movie, man. What a fucking movie.
Would you ever watch this again?
No. Would you recommend it to somebody?
Never.
You wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't either. There's no value. I'd say go on YouTube and look up Rabid Granny Kills if you were interested in the kills.
Exactly.
This is a great
movie. It could have been a 5-minute video, and I'd be like, wow, that was pretty cool. And I didn't need 87 minutes of it.
This would be a good movie for how we were talking about our new Patreon show where we could like show clips of it. It would be great for that. Everything else, no, though. I don't see that being a thing. Lloyd Kaufman is 74. He's younger than our president. Would you have voted for Lloyd for president?
Of course not. I wouldn't vote for anybody.
So here's what I'm thinking we should do. Because we always look... What we end up looking up is trauma movies, right? Why aren't we looking up Lloyd movies?
Just like... anything that he's in?
He directed.
Okay.
I feel like that's the thing we're missing.
All right, let's see. As a director,
Because as a director,
stuck on you.
He did. He didn't do that.
Yes, he did.
Oh wait, yeah, he did. He did. He used his fake name for it.
Samuel Wheel. He also did Big Gus. What's the fuss?
No way. Is this real, Joe? If I knew about this name title like years ago, I would have been messaging the Big Gus we know, just responding with "What's the fuss?" to everything he said.
Oh man.
Yeah. So, all right. So
this plot for Big Gus, What's the Fuss, is a fucking
I just read it.
Headache.
That's why I was silent.
What a fucking nightmare that is.
Oh, all right. God. So we've done Class of Nukem High.
Yep.
I don't think we even did Toxic Avenger. We did Did we do any?
We did three for the part. We did three for the part threes. Or like we at least talked right. about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
We did Terra Firma.
We did Terra Firma.
And we did Poltergeist. So it leaves Tales from the Crapper.
Okay, by the way, All the Love You Cans is 2002, and it's a documentary of Troma trying to go to the Cannes Film Festival. This is what our friend Matt Berry was telling us about in the chat the other night. He was like, they look like they stink. He's like, there's like eight of them in a hotel room. It's the most disgusting thing he's ever seen. So we got Tales from the Crapper, Poltergeist.
No, we did Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah. Wait, dude, Joe. 2017. Return to Nukem High, a.k.a. Volume 2. That's the funniest name I've ever heard.
Oh my god, fucking Lemmy's in this.
Oh my god.
Lee Harvey Herzgoff.
It's really weird. He kind of like really he was really into like the Nukem High, I guess, like as a revamp. All right. Is there anything here that piques your interest?
No.
Joe. Even Romeo and Juliet, look at the cover art. It's so serious.
I mean,
Joe, I think that's a serious movie. I don't think we can do it.
Shot. I mean, of course you can fucking do it. It's gonna be the biggest piece of shit.
James Gunn wrote it.
Yes, that I know. I mean, maybe Sergeant Kabukiman NYPD.
I'm a little nervous about that. Because I mean, for various reasons. Fatal Sushi, Lethal Chopsticks, and As American as Apple Pie. A superhero comedy film is what it's designated as.
See, honestly, what are her options? It's that or Romeo and Juliet?
These are awful, Joe. Do we want to continue? Damn it. I looked up the actor who played Sergeant Kabuki Man, at least hoping for him to be an Asian man. It's not. It's not at all. Not even fucking close. Let's see. Wait, here's... While filming Toxic Avenger Part 2 in Japan, where the original Toxic had been a major hit, Kaufman and Herz were approached by Tetsu Fujimura and Masaya Nakamura of Namco to create a kabuki-themed superhero film, supposedly based on an idea by... I love that that's supposedly. Supposedly based on an idea by Kaufman. Namco became a producer. Like Namco, the video game company? Yes.
I don't know.
That owns like Sega and Pac-Man and shit. That's who Troma... Dude, they gave Troma money to make fucking Sergeant Kabuki Man. Why is this? This is insane. Giving Troma $1.5 million budget to begin production, pre-production. Creative differences troubled production from the start. Both Namco and HERS wanted a mainstream, accessible film geared towards children. Whereas Kaufman wanted the usual Troma-esque sex and violence style. The film eventually cut into both PG-13 and R-rated versions.
PG and R-rated?
PG-13 and R-rated.
Oh, okay, alright.
Sergeant like, Kabuki Man's in a Moby music video.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Although Kaufman screamed Kabuki Man at the Cannes Film Festival for several years. Is that even allowed? He just kept submitting the same movie? Oh my god, the film, it was made in 1990 and it didn't see a theatrical distribution until 96. When he finally showed the PG-13 cut. That's fucking crazy. Wow.
I feel like we have to do it.
I mean, it... Dude, there's so much information about this. It's so fucking weird. All right.
All right. Either this or Tromeo and Juliet.
All right, I'm not doing fucking Tromeo and Juliet. All right. Sergeant Kabuki Man.
Or Toxic Avenger 4.
No. Sergeant Kabuki Man. And then... Sergeant Kabuki Man. And then... We will do, should we do, cause there's not, I forgot we're already done with like fucking November. Wow. Fuck. That's crazy. We should do, what's the other fucking movie we want to do for Thanksgiving?
Blood Rage.
That's the one. We'll do Blood Rage for Thanksgiving. Should we do that?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll do Sergeant Kabuki Man and then Blood Rage and then. And then we're in December, thank fucking God. However, I would be interested into pitching it to the Patreon voters for maybe a Troma movie in December, in early December.
Ugh, great.
These movies are awful. Joe, even Sergeant Kabuki Man, we're reading it and we're like, oh yeah, this is better than the other ones. It's not. You could probably go into everyone and they've got the most insane stories that make you be like, okay, I'll do that. And then we'd watch it and be like, why did we do this? Which cut are we going to watch? PG-13 or R?
R.
Are you sure?
Yes, are you kidding me? Fucking toned down Sergeant Kabuki Man.
I doubt PG-13 even exists. I mean, I'm sure there's probably a DVD of it, like as a second thing, but... All right, fine. That's what it is. Terra Firma, 1998, says it's based on the book All I Need to Know About Filmmaking I Learned from the Time. How is that based on the book? There's... It's a fake movie. Lloyd Kaufman's blind in
it. And pisses in two streams at all times.
Oh my god. All right. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I do not.
I'm going to look up Sergeant Kabuki Man now, see what versions we can get here. With commentary, that sounds like a blast. Sergeant Kabuki Man, NYPD. Alright. Alright, well that's it for the show. We're going to do a live stream for Patreon, for our top tier Patreons. I think the weekend of the 21st, if you're available, Joe. I have not confirmed that with Joe. But I think not this weekend, but the following weekend. But maybe, I don't know. We'll figure it out in the next day or two and post it. But I'm planning to do it on the 21st. And we'll do like a fun live show through this new platform we have, which is pretty dope. And we'll see what we come up with for that. And that's at patreon.com/IHateHorror. We just recorded another bonus episode for that also, which should be pretty fun, right? Like, I thought that was cool. You can find us at Twitter at @IHateHorrorShow, Instagram at @IHateHorror, and email me if you want, I guess, Sean@IHateHorror.com. Joe, where are you at?
At Boogdish1985.
That's my man, the Boog. All right. Okay. Sorry, I'm reading weird things. All right. All right. That's it, man. Thank you so much. This was a great episode, I think. I honestly don't know. Much like Rabid Grannies, I don't know what just happened. But we gave it our shot. And, like, legitimately, no story to that fucking movie. This isn't Joe and Sean being drunk and, like, fucking this up. This story does not exist.
Not existent.
All right. Anyway.
And also being drunk and fucking it up.
For Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios. Movies all fucking day. I wanna play. I'm gonna watch what I'm not supposed to watch. A fucking zombie getting sliced and diced. The monster. Butcher.